Well, let's pray. Father, we humble our hearts so that we can be instructed. We lay down our preconceived notions that we can receive your information and your revelation. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and you understand the realities in which we live. And you want to penetrate those realities and transform us. So I pray that each one of us would be willing to be transformed. We would not seek to hold on to our life. We would not seek to save our life. We would not seek to manipulate people or situations according to what we want or we like. But we would put ourselves truly in your hands for you to transform us, for you to deliver us from our fears, for you to teach us new ways of thinking and new ways of relating and new ways of living, that your life can join with our life and our life can truly join with your life. So that all that you desire for each of us, we would receive. And there'd be nothing blocking that that comes from within us. And everything that rises up from within us, we would give it to you so that you can change it. You can remove it. You could adjust it. You could do whatever you want so that we can really be your people and walk with you. So, Father, I thank you that you have such desires for us. Such desires, Lord, that you really want to take us where we've never gone before. So, Father, I thank you for this church, its leaders, the people who are members of this community, Father, because you have so much you want to do with us. And you're just looking for those who will cooperate with you. So, Father, I pray all this in the name of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. Amen and amen. The Lord wants to change our way of thinking. The Bible talks about as a person thinks, so they are. If you think of yourself in a certain way, you will act according to how you think about yourself. If you think that certain people are certain ways, you will relate to them how you think about them. Oh, I can't say this to this person because they'll react in this way. Or I can say this to that person because they're going to respond in this way. And we have all of us mental prisons in which we live. You know, there are gates and bars in the prison. I can't do this, I'm not that, they're not this. And so we end up creating relationships with one another as if we're all in a prison together and you're living in this cell and I'm living in this cell and you're living in this cell and we're in these prisons of our thoughts and feelings and we read the Word of God and it challenges us to step out of the cell. It challenges us to step out of the prison because you've got these thoughts and the feelings that the thoughts create and then the choices that you make based on how you feel because that's how we all live. We think, we feel, then we act. But if the thoughts are constraining thoughts, unbelief, thoughts of unbelief, God won't. Thoughts of unbelief about yourself, I'm not or I can't. Then those create negative feelings, and the negative feelings control you. You know, because we live in that way as human beings. So I have this feeling about myself. I have this feeling about you. I have this feeling about God. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like evangelizing, putting it in just spiritual terms. I don't feel whatever. And then you make a choice based on that. So you don't say something, you don't do something, or you do say something, Because you're angry and you're, you know, your feelings, your negative feelings, the angry feelings coming from all kinds of thoughts. So we've got these thoughts that put us in prison. We've got these feelings that keep us there, and it creates behaviors, you know, that again put us in all kinds of situations and circumstances that are constraining. And Jesus has come, the Bible says, to set the prisoners free. So if you see that you're a prisoner, here's good news. Jesus can set you free. That's a good place to say amen. Unless you want to be in your prison cell. And I've been in ministry a long time, met a lot of people who want to stay in prison, and people who got set free and then went back to their prison because they didn't want the responsibility that comes with freedom. They didn't want the responsibility that comes really being a disciple of the kingdom of God. They like to make excuses. You know, that's how they were thinking. I'm going to make an excuse so that I don't have to change. I'm going to make an excuse so that I don't have to act in a certain way. And God gives us all free will. So we can choose and act in ways that don't please God but please us. And we don't care what other people think. And we see prisons, literal prisons, filled with people who've made bad choices. We've seen families destroyed, marriages destroyed because of wrong thinking, wrong feeling, wrong actions. And I tell you that today the Lord wants to set all of us free. But it begins with learning how to think differently. So we see in the scriptures a challenge to our thinking, because it's as a man thinks, as a person thinks, so they will be. So the Word of God comes to give us new information. The Word of God comes in various ways to give us new information, information that you can then take and change your thinking, which will change your feelings, which will change your behavior. And now we have a whole new life that we could all live. And I want you to know God has new life for all of you. He looks at you and he says, you think you are this person. You're not this person. You think you're that way because that's how you're thinking about yourself. But I'm telling you, you're not that person. You're this person. I'm going to teach you how to be a disciple. I'm going to teach you how to have my thoughts, which will create my feelings within you, which will create my choices and my behavior, and you'll live a whole other life. Now, that challenges us because we roam and our natural man, our flesh, recoils at that, and we start asking all kinds of questions. Well, what if I don't like it? What if I'll be unhappy? What if this and what if that? And Jesus said, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Just lay your whole life down and let me teach you who I see you really, as you really are, as I see you. And many people stop at that. And I believe that today can be a real day of transformation. You can leave here changed simply because you allow God to change one thought in your head. And that one thought changes another thought, changes another thought, changes another thought. The dominoes start to fall. And then the feelings are changed because the thoughts change. And then you're making new choices. You're acting to your spouse differently. You're acting to your children differently. You're acting to your workmates differently. You're acting towards yourself differently. The things that tempted you no longer tempt you anymore. Because the attraction that it had to those feelings, there's no attraction to those feelings because those feelings were created by a certain kind of thinking. That thinking has changed. Therefore, the feeling has changed. Therefore, the attraction to that sin has changed. And you've been delivered from the sin because it no longer has an attraction to you. You look at it and you go, I don't want to go drinking. I don't want to look at the pornography. I don't want to go there because it doesn't attract me anymore, because now you're attracted to something else. You're attracted to the scripture, and it's nobody telling you you have to read the Bible. It's like you can't stop it. Nobody is telling you you have to go to church. It's like you're the first one there and you wonder why the door's closed. Then you ask the pastor for the keys because I want to live here. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And he says, fine, as long as you're hoovering, you could stay. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like nobody has to tell you to come to an all-night prayer meeting. You are, can't wait for it to begin because your thinking about it has changed. Your feelings has changed. Your attraction to it has changed. Your I want to's have changed. You're being led by the Spirit into fulfilling the will of God. It becomes the joy of your life and the delight of your life to be flowing with God in the Spirit. You follow what I'm saying to you? This is not religious behavior. It's supernatural life flowing into you and through you, because you're being transformed in your inner man. And I tell you, I believe God wants to transform the whole body of Christ, because so many of us have been constrained by wrong thoughts and wrong feelings and wrong behaviors created by those thoughts and feelings. But if you're willing, and you got to be willing, because nobody, God himself will not contradict your will. He has given you the gift of free will. You choose the life you want. And he's offering you a life with him. He's saying, I'll live in you. I'll live with you. You'll live in me. You'll live with me. I'll make you a disciple. I'll fulfill what I have written over your life, how I see you. Not how you see you, not how your parents saw you, or not how your siblings saw you, or not how all those voices that are still in your head, those thoughts, those voices that are in your head that say, you're not this kind of a person, and you're not that kind of a person, and you're this kind of a person, and you're that, and they define you. They put you in that prison because they create those fears, those feelings, I'm not, I can't, I shouldn't, I won't, people won't like me, people will reject me. All of those thoughts creating those feelings, and you behave in a certain way. So if the Holy Spirit were to say to you, why don't you go and share the gospel with that person in the shop? And you say to that thought, no, I can't, because I got all these other thoughts and feelings that constrain me from doing it. But if those thoughts and feelings start to get changed and the Lord says, go and do it, you're so excited to do it because your feelings are connected to his thoughts, and you get an excitement going on inside of you, like, wow, I get this opportunity, I can't wait. Oh, that's a good place to say amen. This is the essence. What I'm describing to you is the essence of discipleship. Changing your thinking, that changes your feelings, that changes your choices, and your whole inner world is changed. Everything is changed. And it's not because you're, watch this now, because this is the key. It's not because you're saying, okay, I'm going to be more obedient, and I'm going to be more religious, and I'm going to be more spiritual, because that'll last about 12 seconds. Because the old thoughts will come up that are really the defining thoughts of your life. Those old patterns come up. And you stop. But if you really, this is the key, if you're really willing to let Jesus be Lord of your life. So he calls you and says, okay, come on, I want to disciple you. I want to teach you. I want to train you. Will you obey me? I want to teach you. I want to train you. Will you obey me? And you say, okay, Lord, here I am. He begins the process. He begins the process of renewing your mind, as the scripture says. Often, oh, in various places, says that we are being renewed as we spend time with him. See, God is in the business of changing us if we're willing to be changed. What has happened in so much of Western Christianity is a religion has come up that has nothing to do with changing you. It has something, how shall I say this to you? On various levels, in the way that Christianity has become aberrant, it has moved away from this pattern of making and maturing disciples into a pattern of, we'll have church services and people will come, and then we'll please them or we'll encourage them or whatever might be going on. But the real, how shall I say this, the nitty-gritty of being a disciple that's learning and changing and growing isn't really taking place. Now hold that thought, because that whole process takes place within community, within the body of Christ, because we are not called to be in this dynamic of change, we cannot do it alone. I need you, you need me, we need each other. See, one of the, how shall I say this, Lord, the sophisticated lies of the enemy is to create counterfeits and substitutes in which we merely go to church together and we think that's the norm, rather than having sacred relationships with one another in which in that relationship we're helping one another learn and change and grow. So I understand that this is not about me going to church together. Hello, how are you? See you next week. But there is a sacred space between us. Now, you're not going to be in the same kind of relationship with everybody. God will connect you to the people who fit with you. Just like your elbow fits with your forearm and your bicep. You're connected directly to that, following the example of the body. So God will connect you with people, and you can't, don't try and make it happen. It happens organically. It happens supernaturally. God connects you to people, and it fits. And in that connection, if you are willing, this is the key for this. You have to be willing to learn and change and grow and repent. In that relationship with somebody, a sacred space gets created and you're able to relate to one another. There isn't a constraint. There isn't a difficulty. You're able to relate to one another around the purpose of learning and changing and growing and maturing and bearing fruit. So our conversations are, what is the word of the Lord to you? What are you listening to? What is God challenging you, telling you, encouraging you? What is the word of the Lord to you? And then how together can we help that happen? So I have sacred space relationships with a person, then another person, then another person. So I have a circle of relationships that go from very intimate to not so intimate. But I'm having all of these relationships are really focused around how do I learn and change and grow and bear fruit? Because I need the wisdom, I need the support, I need the encouragement of other people. How many of you have found moments when someone has come along and had that one word for you to encourage you and took you over the hump that moment, you know? You were so grateful for the prayer or the phone call or the smile or something that helped you go to the next, that helped you go to the next level. We need each other. The enemy is the master of alienation, separation, and division. Jesus said, any kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, and the enemy loves to divide us. That's why the body of Christ, the church, Christianity, is divided into so many sects and churches and organizations. And it's not just in this city, it's around the world, you know, because the enemy is the master at alienating, separating, and dividing. Well, you believe that, or you believe that, or you don't believe this, or you don't believe that, and, you know, all this craziness. Well, if we had a Hebraic mindset, and if I use that word, Hebraic mindset, and it's not a term you're familiar with, you can get some of my teaching material that will help you learn this kind of stuff. So that the Hebraic mindset is that we're not relating because we agree. We're relating because we have the same purpose to get to know God better. And to have his life in us. So disagreement is part of my learning. Because if I'm walking with God and there's a humility in me, I'm going to have a humble attitude to God and a humble attitude to my brothers and sisters and say, I can learn from anybody because I want to learn. I'm not here to prove myself right. I'm here to learn. And I share, okay, this is what I think. Because, you know, the Bible says, again, about thinking we all only know in part. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if I know I only know in part, I think, well, look at all the other parts that are around available to me. You know, what do you have? And what do you have? And what do you have? And what do you, and all of these parts. Now we have real fellowship together. Not just going to a meeting together, but we have real fellowship in which dynamics are taking place. Learning is taking place. Growing is taking place. Encouragement is taking place. Because I've made a choice Excuse me, I've made a choice about what kind of person do I want to be. I want to be a disciple. I want to learn. I want to change. I want to grow. I want to fulfill my destiny. So I put myself into that school of the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit then to give me the kinds of relationships that are about helping me learn and change and grow, and me helping other people learn and change and grow. Now we're in fellowship together. See, we think, again, one of the counterfeits and substitutes of the enemy, we think we're in fellowship together if we go to a meeting together. Sitting in a meeting is not fellowshipping together. We change the definition. Satan changes the definition of fellowship together. So we think, well, we're in church together. That's fellowship because that's a definition. But we're not getting what the real definition is because we've defined it falsely. We believe the lie. So we don't get what we're supposed to get because we're not defining it correctly. Then we realize, no, I have to get the right definition. And the right definition has to do with this phrase that keeps coming to me today. This sacred space between us. And it's a sacred space, so I have to protect it because the enemy wants to destroy it. He wants to put a thought in to alienate and separate. Somebody says something, you get offended. Well, getting offended is part of relating to other human beings. Somebody's going to say, right, because you're a human being and you're with other human beings. So how do I deal with it? I walk in the light. I don't let it fester. I'm making a choice. I'm not going to allow myself to be alienated or separated or divided. If you said something that hurt me or offended me or I didn't understand what you said or why you said, I'm going to walk in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. I'll go to my brother. I'll go to my sister. I'll say, you said this, it hurt me. You said that, and it stumbled me, or you said this, or whatever. And then we talk about it, and they'll say, well, I didn't really mean that. Or I didn't mean that, or I really didn't say that, or you misunderstood that. Now we clear it up, and instead of being alienated and divided and looking at each other like, you know, that look, we're so much closer together because we've overcome that. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? The Lord wants to take us all to deeper levels. I know in the Spirit there is so much the Lord wants to do in this community of faith. I remember some years ago, the Lord is reminding me that I had a word about God wanting to pour revival through this community, and I use the word community more than the word church, because for so many of us, the word church has wrong definitions attached to it, as in we go to church, we sit in a service, we call it fellowship, but it's not. Having coffee together is not fellowship together. Listen to what I'm about to say to you. Fellowship is when you and I have a sacred space relationship that's focused on helping one another learn and change and grow. So there's a purpose in my relationship with you. It's not, I want you to like me and I'm going to like you and I won't say anything to you that could possibly offend you and I won't let you say anything to me that could possibly offend me. So we have, instead of a unity, we have a built-in alienation. The built-in alienation is, I won't say things to you, and I won't let you say things to me, and I'll smile nicely at you, and you'll smile politely at me, you know, and we'll just go on our merry way and see you next week, and nothing changes. Nothing grows. But I say to you today, and I believe it's by the word of the Lord, that the Lord wants to put a sword at the root of that and change it completely so that together we have a goal with one another and a purpose in our relationship with one another that says, what is the word of the Lord to you? What are you doing about it? And how can I help you? Because I want to grow and I want you to grow. I want to bear fruit for the kingdom of God and I want you to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. I want the power of God to flow through my life, and I want the power of God to flow through your life. I want to see signs and wonders and miracles and revival and evangelism and people getting saved and healed and delivered. I want to see that in my life, and I want to see it in your life, and we're going to have a relationship together focused on the purposes of God and the fruit of the kingdom of God being born. And I'm going to be intentional about it. I'm going to be intentional about creating a sacred space. If somebody doesn't want to be in your sacred space, that's okay. They don't belong there because they're choosing. They don't want it. But you have to be open to this, because I know as soon as I say be open, many of you come up with, well, I've been hurt in the past. Welcome to being alive. Okay, so I'm not going to let hurts define my destiny. I'm not going to let the fact that people have hurt me define my destiny. What's going to define my destiny is how I steward my own pain, how I deal with my own hurt. I forgive them. I confront it. I speak to it. If we can resolve it, wonderful. If we can't resolve it, we'll leave it with the Lord. Matthew chapter 18. But I'm not going to let the fact that I've been hurt. Please hear me say this, because many of you have hurts that you've been carrying, and today is a day of healing. Today is a day of letting it go. Today is a day of recognizing those hurts create feelings. The hurt is a feeling, right? So that feeling generates choices. And it generates more thoughts. I won't get hurt again. I won't trust again. I won't open myself again. So those thoughts, I won't, I'm not, I'm hurt, I don't want to get hurt, those are prison bars that keep you in a cell that don't allow you to learn and change and grow. And Jesus wants to set you free. But you get set free when you realize I'm forgiving everybody. I'm forgiving them because I'm not going to let what they did to me determine my destiny. They were hypocrites, fine. They were hypocrites. I'm not going to let their hypocrisy determine my destiny. I forgive them. Okay, Lord, I'm forgiving them. I'm stepping out of my cell. I'm going to take the risk of relationships. But it's not a relationship based on you like me and I like you, and I'll say nice things to you and you'll say nice things to me, and we'll be nice because it's nice to be nice to the nice, you know, and we'll have a nice church with a nice pastor, you know, because everybody's nice. Or in Britain, everybody's lovely. He's a lovely guy. She's a lovely girl. He's a serial killer, but he's a lovely guy. This is not what this is about. Real fellowship in the Spirit is about the purposes of God. We are not a social club. We are an outpost of the kingdom of God. And we are to be disciples of the kingdom of God and talk to one another, relate to one another as disciples of the kingdom. And so my first level of conversation to anybody is, do you want to be a disciple of the kingdom of God? It's a simple yes or no answer. Yes or no. If you don't want to, that's fine. See ya. Because I want to be a disciple, and I don't have time to waste with you if you don't want to be a disciple. Well, that's not a very nice thing to say. That's not very loving, and that's not very kind. That's not very Christian. Yes, it is to all of those things. It is the most loving, most kind, most godly, and most Christian thing I can say to you, because this book, my Bible, is all about being a disciple. It's not being about a way that you want to manipulate me to relate to you in a certain way because you'll get offended or you'll get upset and you don't like the fact that I'm talking to you in a certain way. None of that is part of this equation. What's part of the equation is I want to be a disciple, so therefore I want to learn, I want to change, I want to grow, and I want to bear fruit. Okay, great. Let's do it together. How are we going to do it? I don't know. Let's relate to one another, because we got living people in a dynamic of relationship, and everybody's going to relate to everybody a little bit differently. We're all going to have levels of relationship with one another So I'm going to say, okay, what is the Lord saying to you? What is the Lord saying to me? What is he saying to one another? I don't know. Well, I have a suggestion. Let's pray. And then let's listen. And let's welcome the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And aren't we surprised when he speaks? Word of knowledge comes, word of wisdom comes, a vision comes, a dream comes, some supernatural. Ladies and gentlemen, we should be living supernatural lives. We should have a supernatural church. We should have supernatural lives. That's the norm. We've lived below our inheritance. And I believe that God wants to end that and bring us into the fullness of our inheritance and helping one another do that. See, typically in the church in the West, we've had one supernatural person and everybody listened to him or her and went to their meeting. But we're to be a supernatural community of faith. We're to have a supernatural relationships in this sacred space. The reason it's sacred is because God is in it. If God is really in it, it's supernatural, and we should be expecting supernatural stuff. We should be expecting signs and wonders and miracles because we're in that space together. We're seeking the Lord together. If it's not happening, we're seeking the Lord more intensely. Why is it not happening? And then more of us are joined together around the same purpose. So now it's a prayer meeting that's generated by a desire for the Lord to come. For him to really come. I know that there are deep spiritual roots in Kingsway that got planted by Dave and other people over all these years. There's a foundation in the spirit for this to happen. There are prayers prayed, messages preached, counsel given, dynamics released. I see all of that as foundation stones here upon which you can build if you're willing to do it. And you check your own thoughts. Are you disqualifying yourself? Are you thinking a thought that says, I'm not or I can't? That thought creates the I'm not and I can't feeling that creates the I'm not and I can't choice and puts you in that prison. Or you can change the way you're thinking and say, I'm going to be a disciple of the kingdom of God. If I haven't borne fruit for the kingdom yet, I'm going to start today. I'm not going to let this is really important. I'm not going to let the failings of my past determine my future. I'm not going to let the failings of my past. I'm going to learn from my failings. God is going to redeem all of my mistakes. Hallelujah. All of the things that the enemy wanted to use to stop me. You failed. You made so many mistakes. Give up. Look at the bad. Look at the ugly. Look at the stupid. Those are the lies of the enemy to keep you looking at that rather than saying, okay, Lord, they were bad. They were ugly. They were stupid. But you can redeem them and I can learn from them and speak it into the next generation and say, don't do that. That's an ugly thing. Don't do that. That's a dumb thing. Don't do that. That's a foolish thing. And redeem it all. I have made a lot of mistakes in my life, but I've made a decision years ago now not to let my mistakes determine my destiny. That's why I'm continuing on in ministry, because there were many opportunities when I could have given up and gone back because of mistakes and failures. But I said, no, people who hurt me, really hurt me, people who abused me wrongly, oh, just such junk. How many of you have had junk in your life? I know. Welcome to being alive. Okay. But I made a choice that says, okay, I am a graduate of the school of what not to do. So I learned what not to do by being part of that process. All right, this is not how leaders operate. This is not how apostles operate. This is not how prophets operate. So all of those things now become information for me to redeem the bad and may turn it into good. to redeem what was hurtful and turn it into positive in other people's lives. And it brings redemption into my own life. Are you following this? So the Lord wants to raise our level of relationship with one another, create this sacred space that's all about being a learning, changing, growing, fruitful disciple of the kingdom of God. It's not about you liking me and me liking you. It's not about being nice to one another. It's about having an intentional purpose. What is the word of the Lord to you, and what are you doing about it? Can I help you? What is the word of the Lord to you? What are you doing about it? Can I help you? And if you don't know, let's pray. And in the prayer, we are expecting the word of God to come alive. We're expecting Jesus, who's chatty, wanting to speak to you. Dreams will come. Revelation will come. You'll be surprised. How many of you have been surprised by God? How many of you know that God is yet full of more surprises? How many of you like surprises? How many of you, when I say surprise, you're going, uh-oh. Well, can I choose my surprises? I don't want to go to Tanzania or wherever. And the Lord says, oh, come, let's play. I can't afford to fly to that country. I'll pay for it. Watch. Someone comes up to you and says, the Lord just told me to give you £1,000. That was a good place for somebody to say amen. Stuff like that happens. In 1989, I was working on an evangelism seminar, and in the middle of that, the Lord surprised me. And he said, I want you to go to Israel this summer. I said, Lord, I can't go to Israel this summer. I don't have any money. He says, I'm not talking to you about money. I'm talking to you about going. I said, okay, I'll go. He said, good. Later that afternoon, remember this so clearly, Janet came in the door with groceries, hands full of bags. I said, Janet, the Lord spoke to me this afternoon. He says he wants us to go to Israel this summer. She laughed and said, we don't have any money to go to Israel. I said to her, that's what I said. And the Lord said to me, I'm not talking to you about money. I'm talking to you about going. So then the Lord, he did this. This was well before the internet. How many of you remember letters? Stamps. I went to a meeting in another place where I met a guy who told me he had a mailing list of believers in the land, Arab and Israeli believers. So now I had a list. So I wrote 50 or 60 letters, you know, not much faith, I got to confess to you. But then I started getting letters back from Israel. Oh, yeah, we'd love, come and stay with us. We'd love for you. In fact, it was Ray and Sharon Sanders of the Christian Friends of Israel who responded and said, stay in our home and use it as your base as you travel through the land. Then Janet got a letter from an airline saying that we didn't know anything about that time, about frequent flyer miles and awards like that. It was the beginning when they were doing that. We got a letter from the airline saying we had received 2 free tickets to fly to any place in the world. And I was like, whoa. Some of you have heard me say this, the closer we get to God, the smaller our vocabulary gets. Whoa. Janet got on the phone, spoke to the people and said, well, we got this award. Yes, we'd like to go to Israel. Okay. She said, oh, but there's one problem. You have to stop in Paris on the way back. And Janet said, how long do we have to stop in Paris? Oh, as long as you want. And as part of the award, there was a brand new, this was 1989, a brand new 1989 Volvo waiting for us at Charles de Gaulle Airport. And so I had a missionary friend who had come to my church when we were pastoring back in Brooklyn. I wrote another letter. And he's connected me with a brother who said, yeah, come. My family will be away. Our apartment is free for that weekend. So the Lord provided a free weekend in Paris with a free car. Why? Because he had a plan for me. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? The word of the Lord came. Now, I'm nobody special. I'm just a guy that continues to try and say yes. Are you a person that says yes? If you're not a person that says yes, now's a good chance. Right now, your life can change because of you repenting of every place you've said no to God. Right now, your life will change in your head. You'll make choices inside of your head in which you say, Lord, I repent of saying no to you. That was a good place to say amen. But that's where the rubber hits the road right now in your life. Because you can be saying, no, I want my own life and my own way. Okay, but remember, look at your life in your own way. And what kind of prison cells are you in? What kind of prison to what kinds of thoughts and what kinds of feelings and what kinds of choices? Because I'm telling you, and I believe this is the word of the Lord, God wants to create a community of people who are saying yes to him and yes to one another and intentionally creating relationships that are focused on helping one another learn and change and grow and bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And if somebody doesn't want that relationship with you, you cannot make that happen. That's fine. Love them, bless them, pray for them, welcome them to the meetings. You know, they'll be on the outer court. You're going to be moving into the inner court, to use the tabernacle analogy. But you can't make anybody choose to obey Jesus. You can't make anybody choose to make him Lord. And then when you're in, this is where rubber hits the road stuff. When somebody says, I want a sacred space relationship with you, it gives you the freedom to correct them. Because we need to be corrected. That's a good place to say ow and amen. Because lots of times we don't like to be corrected. But if I'm a real disciple, I want to be corrected. As painful as the correction might be. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. I know if my brother loves me and he sees something that's amiss, I'm welcoming him in my sacred space because I want to keep it sacred. I want to learn. I want to change. I want to grow. I want to bear fruit. I want to fulfill the destiny that God has written over my life. Do you want to fulfill the destiny God has written over your life? If you say yes to that, then you're going to need correction. You're going to need admonition. You're going to need rebuke. You're going to need provocation because we need that. But if I'm open to that and I'm humble before the Lord and I have somebody I'm in relationship with that I love, that I trust, and I respect, why? Because I know they have my best interests in heart, but it's not my interest for me. It's my interest for being a fruitful disciple of the kingdom of God. That's what they want for me. I'm going to receive correction from them. I'm going to welcome that because if I'm wrong, I don't want to continue to be wrong. That was a good place to say amen. Many people want to be wrong, want to continue being wrong, and say, leave me alone, I like being wrong. They don't say it like that, but that's what's happening. That's why their relationships remain troubled, problems, difficulties, wrong thinking, wrong feelings, wrong choices, wrong words, wrong fruit. But if you're willing... This is, this starts with you saying, okay, Lord, this is where it begins, right? You say, Lord, I want to be a learning, changing, growing, fruitful of the disciple of the kingdom. And I want to have sacred space relationships that are going to help me find and fulfill my destiny. So show me, Lord, who the people are that are supposed to join with me in that. Now we stop going to church together. We be a community that's focusing on bearing fruit. We become a community. We actually start to put in motion a down-to-earth process that starts a dynamic in which everybody who wants it can participate. Now we're helping one another practically. Down to earth. What is the word of the Lord to you? Now you have to hear it. Okay, I want to hear it. Then the prophecy starts to come. Words of knowledge comes. Dreams comes. Revelation comes. Things start to be released because we're seeking the Father for his will in the earth, in our community. We're not stepping back from it. We're not isolating ourselves. We're not alienating ourselves. We're not putting that smile on. How many of you have a fake smile? How many of you are liars? We all have it. Hello. Praise the Lord. Don't talk to me. Don't say anything meaningful. Don't dare correct me. Instead, we need to have a whole different way of thinking. And I believe, I'll say this to you, I believe the Lord will come. If we create the wineskin, he'll pour in the new wine. The wineskin, the fabric of the wineskin, is the warp and woof of the wineskin, is our relationships with each other. And my relationship with you, your relationship with one another, is this sacred space that's about intentionally looking at my brother, looking at my sister, and saying, what is God's heart for you? What is his will for you? What is his plan for you? And what are you doing about it? And how can I help you? It's taking the relationship and make it intentional about you finding and fulfilling the will of God and you having that relationship with everybody else. Now we're intentionally creating that space and saying, Lord, come and fill it. Show us what you want. And I stand before you today. You mark my words. If you do this, watch what God will do. And there are people who will do it and there are people who won't. That's fine. That's their choice. But for you, like Joshua chapter 24 of the book of his name, as he said to ancient Israel, if you deem the gods of Egypt more worthy of your obedience, then go and follow them. As for me and my house, we're going to serve Yahweh, the Lord. We're going to serve him. So if you want to come, let's go. So you have to make that choice in your heart right now. Is Jesus Lord? And if he is, are you his disciple? And if you say, yes, Lord, I'm your disciple, I'm laying down my rights, I'm laying down my choices, I'm laying down my future, I'm laying down everything so that you can be my Lord and teach me how to think, teach me who to relate to, teach me what to do. And you can take me out of my life, which he will do, and he'll put you into his life. So as we pray now, the questions, these are questions before you. Do you want his life? This is a good question requiring a yes or no answer. Not to me, but to him. Do you want his life? Do you want his will? Do you want his plans and his purposes and his fruit and his kingdom to come? If you answer that yes, then the next thing is, okay, Lord, I'm opening myself to these sacred space relationships. And if that phrase doesn't suit you, whatever phrase that suits you, use that to define your relationships. Because in that definition will be what you allow in. Correction, adjustment, rebuke, encouragement, prophetic stuff, signs, wonders, miracles, whatever. So I'm, you know, and say, because I know there's a lot of evangelism here. I'm just seeing that now. There's a lot of evangelism, you know, in all different creative ways of reaching out to the community. From taking worship bands on the street and singing on the street, to passing out tracts, to creating various kinds of outreaches. How creative is God? How creative can God be in you? Whoa. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't want to come to church because they have the wrong definition of church. They're looking for community. They wouldn't use these phrases because they don't have the vocabulary, but they're looking for real relationships. And if you go out there with your heart, I'm looking to find sacred space relationships with people that I'm winning to the Lord or who have just come to the Lord, and we bring them into the community that's focused on the purposes of God, not having you be a good churchgoer.
Jesus did not say, go into all the world and make church-going Christians of everyone you meet. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of the nation. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your encouragement, your challenge, your rebuke. Because you love us so much and you have so much for each of us. Lord, the first sacred space relationship is between you and each one of us. And you speaking. And you calling us and challenging us and encouraging us to be who you want us to be. I know some of you are watching and listening. Don't think this is just for this congregation in this city, here in Liverpool. It is not. It's for the whole body of Christ. Father, I thank you for right now, this moment, changing lives and destinies. Because right now, this moment, in people's hearts and minds, they're changing the way they think. And they're saying, yes, Lord, I'm not letting my past determine my destiny or my future. I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to learn. I'm going to change. I'm going to grow. I'm going to bear fruit. And I'm going to be in relationships with people that are intentional and purposeful about that, helping them and allowing them to help me. So, Father, I pray all of this today in the name of Jesus, that all that you have for each of us, Lord, will come to pass, that your kingdom would come, your will would be done, and your glory would be seen in the earth. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen.